going to go straight to that story that's been leading the bulletins to Sydney and the shooting and stabbing attack that took place in the Westfield Shopping Centre in Bondi Junction just a few hours ago. To give you an update, there's 7 people now confirmed dead, including the attacker. 8 people have been badly injured, including a 9-month-old baby. New South Wales police have confirmed the attacker was known to them, and their information at this point is that he was acting alone. They have not yet identified any motive for the attack, but they're not ruling anything out, although they don't believe it was an act of terrorism. Niall Nocton is 27 years old. He's from Boston in County Clare. He was in the shopping centre when the attacks happened. We managed to get him on the phone a short time ago, and he began by telling me why he was in Bondi today.
So I just decided to go in and do some shopping for myself for the day. Usually I don't venture to Bondi, but for some reason I did today, unfortunately. So I went in and I got my hair cut, which was on the same floor that everything happened at around 3 o'clock. And I went downstairs then to Zara to get some clothes for myself. And that's when the events unfolded then after that.
And you were in a clothes shop. How did you know what was unfolding outside in the main body of the shopping centre?
Yeah, well, I had picked up my clothes that I wanted to try on, and I went into the dressing room, as you do, tried on the clothes, and I could hear what sounded like a stampede of cattle coming running through the shop. I obviously had the curtain closed in the dressing room, so I couldn't see anything, but I could hear everything. And next thing, somebody pulled back my curtain and said, "Get out, get out, get out. You need to go, you need to go. There's stabbing, someone's stabbing, terrorism, terrorism." And at this stage, because we were running all in the one direction, we didn't even have a chance to look back to see, you know, what actually was going on. So we had no awareness of what was going on or what the situation was. And we were escorted down to the basement, the storeroom in Zara, by Zara staff. And they managed to bolt the door, and we got down on the ground, and everyone was screaming, crying. It was absolutely horrific. And there was even kids as young as 4 years of age in the room with us.
And how did the people handle that in the moment? Are you talking about people running at full tilt, or was there somebody there trying to organise this evacuation effectively into the basement?
No, well, fair dues to the staff in Zara. I think, you know, somewhat they were mindful of what was going on, and, you know, they reacted as best as possible as they could, you know, by barricading the door up and the whole lot, and trying to get everyone in as calmly and safely as possible. But ultimately, you know, because we had no awareness of actually what was going on or where this person was, ultimately everyone was in such a state of panic. And I think everyone was really, really just in such distress and overwhelmed, and everyone was screaming and crying. You know, it wasn't a very calm situation, but, you know, naturally enough, you'd be in that state when you hear of someone stabbing or shooting. So it was just horrific. But, you know, the staff did, to the best of their ability, try and protect us.
And you mentioned there that there were children also. I mean, what state were they in when they saw the level of panic amongst the adults?
Well, I think even, you know, even reflecting to the situation, you know, I was even thinking of my own family at the time, you know, what if there is a possibility that something is going to happen to me and I'm going to die? And I couldn't even reach for my phone at this stage because there was so many of us crammed into the room. And just looking around the room and seeing all those young children look at their parents, look up at their parents, or look over at their parents, because we were all scattered. And even those, they hadn't even a clue what was going on or why their parents were crying. So I think they just had initially a state of panic because they could sense the panic from their own parents. So it was just horrifying scenes, really, to be honest.
And how long were you in the locked room, and how did you get a sense, or were you told, that the incident had ended outside?
Yeah, so we were only in there for, I'd say, 5 to 10 minutes. Ultimately, then we'd noticed there was an emergency exit in the door, and one of the Zara staff had pointed at the door, and at the time I was nearest to the door. So I was happy enough ultimately to open the door and just pop my head around slowly around the corner, which was at the back of the shopping centre near the car park. And as I done so, I could see hundreds and hundreds of people coming running across the road. There's a two-way street there, and they were coming running across in front of cars. There was cars like driving at full speed. It was like something you would see out of a movie. It was that scary. So we managed everyone to evacuate out of the storeroom, and thankfully we were on a level that was actually meeting the street level, because there's many other floors there where people actually couldn't get out and they were locked in the store. So I was very grateful for that instance that we could escape when we could. But at that stage then, you know, everyone, there was shoes, there was flip-flops, there was bags left all over the street because everyone was just running in such a panic. There was even kids stranded looking for their parents. There was 2 young girls about 10 years of age that come up to me at one stage looking for their parents, and I offered to, you know, ring the parents if they knew their number, and thankfully they had spotted them across the road, so I escorted them over to the parents, and then I just kept running. That's all I could do, was run as far as away from the shopping centre as I could.
And was there any assembly point where people gathered? Did you hear from people who had witnessed the incident in the other part of the shopping centre on the floor above?
No, like we had no guidance or nothing like that. It was just, I think, you know, humanistic instinct that we were just to run, and that's it, run as far away as we could. And there was one lady there who was in awful distraught, but she was just trying her best to try and guide everyone across the road and get down to this laneway as fast as possible. So I ran down as far as I could, about a kilometre down to the nearest park. And I rang my best friend. She was working at the time, and I kept ringing her, and she actually texted me back and said, sorry, I can't answer. And I said, you need to answer, it's urgent. So I rang her and I said, look, I don't know what to do. Where am I meant to go? Where am I meant to hide? Because ultimately you're in a situation where you can't trust anyone around you. So it's just to say the panic, really. But thankfully I managed to grab a taxi, and my friends collected me from the nearest safest point, which was great.
So at this stage, you're in high alert state, and as far as you're mm-hmm. concerned, this may not be an incident that is limited to the shopping centre. This could be a more widespread attack throughout the area of the city you're in, even wider.
Absolutely. And this was the thing, the fact that there was three or four helicopters above me, police helicopters circulating the area. They managed to barricade off roads and everything straight away. And fair dues to the NSW police and the ambulance service, you know, they acted as fast as they could and as appropriately as they could. But like, we had no guidance. It was just a thing where we just ran and that was it. But, you know, I was even talking to some people as we were running and asking what was going on. A lot of people were giving me mixed stories of what was going on from different shops and what way the acts were conducted and so on and so forth. So I was hearing a lot of mixed messages until I was
this
in the
taxi. This is about
the
type of weapon that was being used, is it? You didn't know whether it was a stabber or a shooter at that point, did you not?
That's exactly it. And we didn't know how many was in it as well. So that was the concern, was, you know, and I was trying my best as I was running to look around to see who was around me, if there was anyone coming at me with the weapon. So ultimately, you know, the fright and flight kicked in then, and it was just pure adrenaline just to keep running, and that was it.
And obviously when an incident like that happens in an area like Bondi, there's a huge Irish population there, people, you know, who may be living there for years.
Absolutely.
Or who are just temporarily in Australia. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you have fears about, do you know anything about any of the victims, or did your fears immediately turn that this might be people in your social circle?
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, and you know, I work in a mental health over here, so I'm a mental health manager running a practice with clients that have mental health, and ultimately a huge team of staff as well under me. So my first instinct was to ring as well after the phone call with my friend. I rang everyone to make sure all the clients were okay and that they weren't in the vicinity of Bondi at all, and also ring the staff to make sure that their family and friends were also okay, because none of them were aware of what was going on, because this was ultimately happening and it wasn't on the news and there was no information around it. So yeah, and even at that, like, whilst I was running, there was an Irish couple beside me in their mid-30s, and both of them were in distress crying. They were actually in this shopping centre, and it saw everything that had happened at the time as well. So it was them I actually got the first sight of some accurate information about the incident that occurred.
And as you say, you're a mental health professional yourself. I mean, you'll be aware of the traumatic effect on you as you sit there. I mean, it would have only been mm-hmm. a short time earlier before that incident that you had been on the same floor. I mean, as you're sitting at home now mm-hmm. processing that mm-hmm. and what might have mm-hmm. been, what's the impact on you like?
Oh, like, you know, and it even comes down to the people and the families that have been affected by this. Like, ultimately, they're going to suffer from PTSD for many, many, many years. But ultimately, myself, you know, I am strong when it comes to situations like that. But this has properly shook me to the core. I've never in my life thought I'd ever be in an incident where I'd be in some form of attack like that. So it has shook me. But definitely, you know, this is going to have a ripple effect towards everybody living in Sydney, and also, you know, in the context of the wider world as well. You know, something like this never happens, especially in an area like Sydney. I've been living here for 7 months. I've always felt safe. I've always felt comfortable living here, just as much I would at home. I do call this home now, but you know, ultimately, you turn around and you think of your family straight away when you're in an incident like that, and it can make you quite homesick too and stuff. You know, that you want to be with your family, but thankfully, I have a good group of friends here that are looking after me this evening.
And that was Niall Nocton from Boston and County Clare speaking to me just a bit earlier. I want to introduce you to our political panel joining us in studio today. They're James Brown, Minister of State of the Department of Justice, and Fianna Fáil TD for Wexford, Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, and Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Central. Minister James Brown, first of all, I suppose, to Irish people listening to that who would know people living in Bondi or who may have been there themselves, the latest from the Department of Foreign Affairs as regards Irish citizens is what?
Yes, a lot of Irish people would be in that area, both as tourists and living and working in that area. And the Department of Foreign Affairs knowledge to date is that no Irish people have been caught up in the situation in terms of any physical injuries. Obviously, we've heard from Niall there, and there's probably other Irish people who will have experienced that traumatic event themselves in terms of witnessing it. But our understanding is no Irish people have been physically injured. But it's a horrendous attack there in Bondi Junction.
And the advice to anyone who is, you know, concerned maybe about somebody they know in Bondi, should they contact the Department of Foreign Affairs?
So absolutely. If anybody has any concerns about any Irish people, any family that they may have out there, contact the Department of Foreign Affairs, or they can contact the Australian Embassy. But as I say, We're fairly certain at this stage that none of those who have been killed or injured are of Irish citizens. But I say many may have witnessed the traumatic events, and our thoughts are with them, and in particular with the families who have lost loved ones and who have injured people there as well. It does look like it wasn't a terrorist attack, according to the New South Wales Police. It was somebody who was known to them, and they're carrying out further investigations on the matter.
Gary Gannon, Breed Smith, I'm sure you'd join in thinking of the people who are there, or indeed concerned about people who are abroad at the moment.
Absolutely. I think the reports that came through this morning were just absolutely harrowing. The people involved, I can't imagine the panic in that shopping centre. So just to extend my own thoughts to every single person impacted.
Yeah, likewise. And one of the things that struck me most about that conversation was when he said, you don't know where to run because you can't trust anyone around you. That's really horrible, isn't it? That everybody's in the same panic and the same fear and the same boat, but they don't trust each other because of the nature of the attack. You don't know. And it reminded me of the attack on the Norwegian island by your man Breivik years ago, when he killed like 70 odd or something young people who were attending a conference. And they had that same, what do you do, where do you go, and who's around you?
Where's
fear,
threat,
you know, it's
indeed
really horrible, yeah.
All right, and our thanks to Niall for speaking to us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this, asking whatever happened, the new laws that promised to crack down on problem gambling.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.